From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Mass protests continued in Puerto Rico on Monday, a day after embattled Governor Ricardo Rossello pledged to not run for re-election. About 500,000 of the island's residents poured into the clogged streets of San Juan in what many considered the largest protest in history. The movement has adopted a rallying cry of Ricky Renuncia, demanding Rossello's resignation. Although Rossello was becoming increasingly unpopular over charges of corruption and more, it was the recent publication of 800 pages of secret messages exchanged between him and his aides after Hurricane Maria that pushed Puerto Ricans over the edge. The messages espoused misogynist and homophobic sentiments and expressed violence toward prominent people and ordinary residents. We turn now to Rosa Clemente, community organizer, the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate, and a doctoral candidate in the W.E.E. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at UMass Amherst. She traveled to her native Puerto Rico last week and attended several marches, including Monday's historic protests, as a news correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. She now joins me from Puerto Rico. Welcome to the program, Rosa.
Thanks.
So you have spent all day on Monday in the streets of San Juan. Can you give me a sense of what it has been like to be there on Monday?
You know, Monday, it was definitely a historic moment and in the history of Puerto Rican resistance. I don't know what the estimates will say, but I truly feel there were at least 500,000 people there. The highway that we were on is a pretty big highway, six lanes, three and three, and that was packed as far as I could see. So in terms of the population here on the island, how many probably came out, you know, one could potentially say that 1/6 of the population of Puerto Rico on the island was there. And it was definitely intergenerational, and from all the municipalities and unions and people who are unemployed and Afro-Boricuas, and it was incredible at this time to see that many people coming out. And it's been on Wednesday, it'll be 2 weeks of sustained protests. And I think it's also important that people realize that this is two municipalities out of over 73 on the island of Puerto Rico, and every day in those different municipalities that there have been all kinds of protests and marches happening as well. But definitely this was probably one of the largest gatherings of Puerto Ricans ever in terms of recorded history.
So the reports that we heard suggested that on Monday there was a freeway that was blocked, a highway that was blocked by protesters. Was that part of some action, or was it just that there were so many protesters that they sort of effectively blocked it?
Yeah, it's because there were so many protesters. By the time we got there on Monday at 8 o'clock, and it wasn't even supposed to start till 9, there were already thousands and thousands of people, and the police had shut down some exits. So of course then I can't talk about what happened 1,000 feet in front of me or behind me, because there were that many people, and I'm sure there were actions that were happening that we're just finding out now. But effectively the amount of people on the streets shut down San Juan, it shut down commerce. They told cruise ships today they could not dock. And in old San Juan, Viejo San Juan, where is the tourist area, every business, for the most part, I would say 90% of the businesses that are Puerto Rican owned were closed. The only businesses you could see were open were American ones, like a Walgreens or Wendy's, a Subway or Burger King, and then a lot of people who own restaurants open them up, and they've been open since this morning. And a lot of the people that own restaurants or Airbnbs that are Puerto Rican were giving out free food and free water, and in solidarity with everyone who was marching today.
What about what happened over the weekend? I understand you've been there since Friday or Saturday, and there were mass protests on those 2 days as well. And every single day, people have been sort of expecting Roselló to possibly resign. I mean, with such a mass showing, it's hard to imagine how he doesn't.
Well, on Friday, yeah, there's consistent protests happening in front of the Fortaleza, which is the governor's mansion, which has been blocked off. And that's where the big line of police in that area have blocked everything off. And particularly Sunday, there was a march led by LGBTQ folks, mostly young people, because some of the chats, or a lot of the chats, were very, very homophobic. There have been rumors every day that he's going to resign. I think people thought on Monday he would resign, but he doubled down again by giving a horrific interview on Fox News, and that just made especially a lot of young people more angrier and agitated and ready to stay in these streets. I just left the Fortaleza, and I would say it's Monday around almost 10 p.m. When I left, I would say there were still thousands of people there, particularly young people all over, saying that they're not going to leave until he resigns.
The mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulín Cruz, is also an active participant in the protests. And I understand that you had the chance to have a sit-down interview with her. Can you give us a sense of where her thought process is right now?
Well, one of the things that the mayor Cruz has been doing is not approving overtime for police, also trying to, and definitely have been telling the San Juan police, which is under her purview, to be easy, take it easy. But Roselló can call up the National Guard or other police forces, which he has done. I had a one-on-one interview with her Sunday night, almost 40 minutes, and she's with the people. She has announced that she's going to run for governor. We all know that. She also understands some of the critiques that a lot of the young people have around, almost like in the United States, around a two-party system here in the United States. But she has been on the ground. She kept City Hall open. People could come in, especially press. She's been very transparent and open. And this is in light of the fact that a lot of the chats, but particularly one set of chats, one of the people said that they would like to shoot her. And Roselló's response was, "You would be doing me a favor." So I did talk to her about what it feels to be threatened like that. In line with what's happening here in the United States, where we have these four women of color, powerful, unapologetic, young, some, in their mid-40s, who are also being threatened. And I urge people to look at the misogyny, but also the violent patriarchy against these women of color here in Puerto Rico, as women are leading things, and in the United States, and this obsession and hatred that particularly white men or white passing men like Roselló has against strong women of color who are going to be true to what they promised the people they would be true to, be unapologetic and not afraid. But I do think it's important to recognize that people in the government were wanting to kill her.
Wow. And just to give our audience a reminder, I mean, we've been covering the situation there, but they may or may not be familiar with one of the things that triggered these protests was the release of private chat messages by an investigative outlet between Roselló and some of his aides in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria that really gave an inside glimpse into how he and his staff think. And he seems to think that firing his staff, that's what he said he did, should do the trick. What do you think is going through his mind? As far as you can tell, why would somebody remain in power when it's so clear how unpopular he is? For a sixth of the island's population to come out and protest on Monday. I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
And also all the sister marches in the United States and throughout the diaspora,
right.
throughout the world of the Puerto Rican diaspora that have been in solidarity with those that are not here. The Center for Investigative Journalism did an incredible job at uncovering, some people think it's 800 chats, but it's 800 pages of chats, and uncovering them and releasing them one a little bit at a time and then getting all of them and releasing them. José Joe comes from a corrupt political family here in Puerto Rico. His father was the governor of Puerto Rico in the late 90s that, in a very repressive way, ended the public utility of the telephone company. And he did that with a lot of police repression. José Joe, in 1994, and this has also just been released, was responsible for the death of a family here in Puerto Rico because he was driving drunk. He killed his family, and his father covered it up. José Joe and his
wow.
wife cannot account for over $25 million that was raised, particularly $15 million from a concert in Miami after the hurricane that Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez put together. There's no accounting for that money. And José Joe was also withholding aid from the mayors that he did not like. I guess a similar thing we could look at in the United States is when Bridgegate happened in the state of New Jersey and the governor, Chris Christie, was accused of shutting down the bridges into Jersey for political gain. So he comes from a long line of corrupt politicians. He's also probably the least smart of one in the family, right? Mm-hmm. And this, he's been horrific from the day he became mayor. Those, he lied about the number of people that, I'm sorry, became governor. He lied about the number of people who died. He embraced Trump. Hurricane Maria. He embraced Trump. And he also, in these chats, him and his cabinet were making fun of victims of Maria who had died, including what their bodies looked like. So I don't know how he's able to stay. There is a lot of conversation in happening because there is no clear line of succession now that so many of his cabinet people have quit. And here in Puerto Rico, there are not special elections. So there might be people who are afraid to really push him to resign. But with that said, the government will function, you know, and it has mechanisms in place to do that. I view him much like I view Trump, really a megalomaniac with power who has no accountability to anybody and really doesn't care about the people he's supposed to be representing or governing. Unlike what's happening in the United States, we're coming up on almost 12 to 13 days of sustained protest. And the longer he stays and the more he doubles down, the more people will not only be in the streets of Puerto Rico, but all the diaspora, wherever we are, will be in solidarity with the people. Young people here are rising up. And one of the reasons they're rising up is, in my opinion, that they don't see a future here. So if you don't see a future and you can't afford to go to college and 300 schools closed under another corrupt cabinet official, Julie Keller, who before all this happened, the FBI had indicted her and other people in the Department of Education. And, you know, young people who want to stay here and bring Puerto Rico up, well, what does their future look like? And they're also very aware, and as they should be, concerned about climate catastrophe. So when we look at these things, this is what is infuriating. But out of even this, Puerto Rico has actually become a haven. I just read a recent report, not a haven, I don't think that's the right word, but a place where we can see lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and queer young people finding a way to make their life happen here. But without any financial or educational future, these young people know that at one point they might have to leave the island to work, and they don't want to leave the island.
Rosa, I'm wondering if you can give me a sense of what people were saying on the streets on Monday and even over the weekend in your while you were participating in these protests and there as an observer and a journalist as well. Are there any stories of people that you can share with us about why, what their personal reasons are for why they're out protesting, why they want to see Roseo go?
Well, what is, I think a very good thing about this movement is first and foremost is intergenerational. I have seen babies all the way to 90-year-old women and men and abuelos and abuelas and people from all over the island. The unifying factor is, of course, they want Jose Joe to go, but this is also a movement that is understanding the colonial status of Puerto Rico. It's a movement that is sick of the abuse of our colonizers, the United States, and then the corrupt government here. But there are two things, two very the chants that I heard the most were, "We are more, and we are not afraid." And where is Ricky? He's selling the rest of our island off. So there are two very strong unifying factors. You don't see factions right now. And in any movement, we all know, or those of us who are movement work know that there are always these little factions and how we come together in a unified in solidarity under one or two political points. And the political points are just that. We're more than there. We are not afraid. And we have to stop him and other people like him because they're literally selling our island off. So whether you come from the west side of Puerto Rico, whether you're from Loíza, whether you have a job, whether you're unemployed, whether you've lived here, whether you're one of the younger people from the United States that has moved back after Hurricane Maria, because we're seeing a couple of I've had some friends repatriate back after Hurricane Maria. And I talk to a lot of people my age who have come back after Hurricane Maria and are doing amazing work. So in all my years of organizing, I honestly, to say I've never seen a people so united and so clear on what the goal is. And immediately is there that Jose Joe has to resign, but that we also have to now address for sure the colonial relationship and how we're going to break away from that, from the United States and become an island that can govern itself and be self-determining in the future.
So, do you get the sense that if Rosello were to step down sometime this week, that this movement wouldn't just dissipate, that this could be the basis for building on something bigger and broader demands?
Yes, I spoke to a couple former political prisoners on the phone, Luis Rosa and Oscar Lopez Rivera, and I wasn't able to make an event where one of our older freedom fighters from the 60, well, from 1954, the uprising in Congress, Rafael Cansan Miranda, and they said that they have not seen this in their lifetime. And there's also a former young lord here, Panama Vicente Alba, who has also said that, and these are freedom fighters, people that came up in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, were part of the Young Lords, were part of other underground organizations that were fighting for freedom, were incarcerated. So I think Jose Joe is the least, the very beginning, right? It's like the baseline. And then from there, people are going to build up. Because the situation in Puerto Rico has been for decades, we have had corrupt governors time and time and time again. And young people are very now clear of their history. They understand colonialism in a way that I know my generation didn't understand it. And I've been an organizer not all my life, but 26 years. And obviously, I could be biased being Boricua, but I have never experienced what I experienced these 4 days. And, I think of this might be minutia or very super weird example, but at every event, there are then young people that come and clean up after. And I know people are like, what does that mean? Look, I've been to protests in the United States where people are not cleaning up and picking up things after and making sure that that space is beautiful. And even just seeing that, I was like, this is amazing, right? And part of it is like, we will do for self. We don't need anybody else, but we also deserve a government that represents us and is accountable to us, and we will take care of ourselves. And that is not going to go away even when he will resign. He will resign. I don't know when, but he will. And then people will get to work how they've been working, particularly after Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Irma and Maria hit the island.
Right. Well, Rosa, we want to play a clip of the interview that we did with Carmen Yulin Cruz as we go out. But I want to thank you so much for this report and stay safe.
Well, and thank you, Sonali, and your whole team at Rising Up. I called you one day and I was on the plane the next day. And I think it just really speaks to also the incredible independent journalism that we have, really rising and growing in the United States, but that we can come and also tell the story of our people from our perspective. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rosa. Take care.
All right.
My guest has been Rosa Clemente, our news correspondent, joining us from Puerto Rico in a special report from the mass movement demanding Governor Rosello's resignation. Here is a small clip of an interview that Rosa did with San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz on Sunday night.
The world has heard the outcry of the Puerto Rican people, and let me tell you, this is a lot more than a chant. What the chant did was it unveiled the true face and the true colors of the governor of Puerto Rico. This is about a man that just today it was announced that the Puerto Rico Power Authority had gone into another agreement with another company to buy fuel for Puerto Rico. We pay more for the fuel, but there was no competitive process to do this, which is something that in government it's really unacceptable. But it means that the world is now paying attention. But more than that, it means that the cries of the people of Puerto Rico have awakened a general, if you will, common knowledge of what the Puerto Rican conundrum is. And I have to say that because when I say the American people, it is very important that people start to understand that we are not Americans living in Puerto Rico. We are Puerto Ricans who have an American citizenship living in Puerto Rico. One is a civil rights perspective, the other one is a nationhood perspective, then it's a human rights perspective. What is happening nowadays is that the Puerto Rican people are tired, sick and tired of corruption, sick and tired of being taken to the cleaner, sick and tired of having politicians that say one thing and do another thing. And that chant unveiled a sexist, homophobic, discriminatory, but really very savage behavior on the part of the governor of Puerto Rico.
And that's Carmen Yulín Cruz, mayor of San Juan, speaking with our news correspondent, Rosa Clemente, in Puerto Rico on Sunday. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.